Blog Talk Radio.
As we journey through this book, we will uncover, unfold, discover, reclaim, destroy, lift up, cleanse, and heal, making our vagina a sacred place from which love and peace emanate. Healing and shifting our universe as we send beauty into the world. We will heal all that comes into our cosmic, energetic, and physical space with our mind, body, and spirit. This journey is going to take us to places that we forgot, that we didn't want to revisit, but that we carry with us everywhere we go. Ladies, this is serious work. This is loving work. This is healing work. You are queens, goddesses, and mothers and creators of this earth. Let's walk fearlessly as we heal thyself, overcoming the angry vagina.
That ugly duckling grew up to be a swan.
All right, ladies. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful evening it is. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad to be with you ladies this evening. I'm glad that we are doing this show, and this song is so appropriate for our journey and what we're going to do. I know I said I would stick to one theme song, but it's so hard when you have so many beautiful sounds of inspiration out there that will enable us to learn. And music is definitely a tool that is easiest for us to learn from. And the words are just absolutely awesome for this song. And as it's supposed to get it together, you have to heal your body. You have to heal your heart. And whatsoever you sow, you will reap. And that is exactly just the message overall with overcoming the angry vagina and everything that Queen Afua is teaching us and guiding us and being able to do. And I, Monique Nubia Sunshine, am just a vessel, a vehicle to be able to express that. And so I thank you, ladies, for accepting me and being able to host this event. I do want to say before we even get started with the reading is that if any of the ladies do not wish to discuss this evening or be a part of the open discussion, please press 1 to take yourself out of queue if you are in queue. And typically when you go in queue, it says you are now you are now available to talk to speak to the host. And then if you press it again, it'll say it tells you that you're out of queue and you won't be speaking to the host. So if you are looking to join into the discussion, by all means, press 1. If you are looking to just listen, and you can do that and you won't have to press 1 to come in. And if you are in, you can press 1 to come out. And then also, if you are, because I'm going to open up the lines the majority of the evening, so if you hear a beep, that means your line is open. And if there's any background noise, please mute your phone. Or even for some of the women who actually stay online and leave their line open to listen but have other things going on, please mute your line because we want to make sure that everyone is heard and that we have the least amount of background noise because this is going to be a really wonderful show this evening. So as we go into the reading, I'm going to actually read Seeking Balance, which is in the beginning of the book, and then I'm going to go right into Portal 1. And so we can begin the actual work because we've talked a little bit last week about some really serious things, and this particular portal is very important for us to really dive into this subject. It is a huge subject amongst our women in our community, and just overall it's going to be a hearty conversation. So with that being said, I'm going to read Seeking Balance. To all seeking balance, in order to overcome an angry vagina, use holistic womb wellness tools and strategies to address fibroid tumors, infertility, chronic PMS, menstrual and menopausal heavy bleeding and clotting, prolapsed wombs, infections, and immune challenges. Global womb wellness begins within each woman's decision to restore her personal womb wellness and to overcome an angry vagina. Listen to the voice of the womb for emotional and spiritual recovery, inner guidance, release of womb trauma and toxic womb drama. Holistically detoxify and rejuvenate with herbs and tonics and whole foods. Take soothing and healing baths with essential oils, salts, and herbs. Offer prayers of thanksgiving and forgiveness. Recite affirmations of redemption. Actualize meditations of empowerment. Guide and share in womb wellness, healing circles, very important. Use arts and creative works to heal and restore the inner you. Learn and perform womb yoga exercises. Learn and perform the dance of the womb movements. Use womb wisdom to birth healthy relationships, well babies, and vibrant visions. It is a womb wellness revolution, and it's very, very important. That is in our beginning, in the beginning of the book. Now, if you ladies do have your books with you, I will, from time to time, be calling on some ladies to read some passages so that we can all be interactive in this discussion. So the first portal we're going to go through is Portal 1, and the portal is a gateway. It is a guide to global womb wellness. And so I'm going to read the first page, and then I'm going to open up the lines for us to have some discussion, because this one is really good. Who, me? Women, sisters, ladies, it's time for womb wellness revolution. In this book, listen to stories told by our sisters and our mothers and girlfriends. Trace the timeline of global events connected to those stories. From one portal, one doorway, to the next, find your story. Research your causes of dis-ease and gather your wellness tools. Become empowered by discovering what may be blocking your wellness so that you can awaken and strengthen the healer within. This is a revolution. Turn around time and take bold, brilliant steps towards your personal wellness. The condition of a woman's womb gives us insight as to what is going on with her life. Pay close attention to what your womb is saying to you. For self-knowledge becomes self-liberation. I'm going to say that again. For self-knowledge becomes self-liberation. All womb traumas have root causes. Seek within to find yours. Look at your womb condition. Own it so that you can begin to work to heal yourself. Your womb is waiting for you to overcome an angry vagina. Find or create your womb circle of others who are saying, that is enough. We want to feel better and live our lives better. Have courage. Your sisters are here with you. I'm going to actually open up the lines now and open up discussion amongst all of us. And we have a great deal of ladies on the line, so I just want to make sure that everyone is open to being a part of the discussion. So I'm going to ask all of you ladies, and you can all respond at the same time, or you can respond right after each other. How many ladies are in this discussion this evening? And just say I, so I know that you're going to be part of the conversation. And your name.
Hi.
This is
Rochelle. I.
Okay. Welcome, Rochelle. Who else is on the line?
Amaya.
Hey, Amaya. Welcome.
Hi.
Sorry to get back to you last time. I'm sorry about that. Livin, welcome.
Renee is on the line.
Renee, welcome.
Thank you for inviting.
Of course. And who else is that?
This is Poetress.
Hey, Poetress.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Who else? Is there someone else? Okay. So I want to ask you, ladies, how important is it for us to identify our condition of where we are in life as it relates to our womb and what's happening? How important is that? And anybody can answer that question. Hello? Are we there?
This is Rochelle. Yes, this is Rochelle. It is extremely important as the passage that you read. You know, we have to stay intuitive about how our womb is healing and the condition of our womb, because if we do not, then when we receive those blockages, I mean, we won't have the awareness of where it's coming from and where it's stemming from. And, you know, as well as it says, you know, asking the womb of your mind and the womb of your heart, you know, what's going on with me? You know, why am I having these side effects and these pain and this dis-ease in my, you know, in my womb? You know, we have to ask them questions and connect with ourselves on every level.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that. Any other ladies have any other thoughts or responses they want to add to that? Okay. Well, I do want to add to it because I think it's so difficult for many of us to even know that what's going on with us is connected to our womb. I think that's the real tough part about knowing how to decipher or how not to downplay the things that are going on in our lives as it relates to our physical self. You know, sometimes we don't even connect the two. You know, when we're exhausted or we're tired from work, we just think it's because we've been doing a lot. But sometimes it could be our womb saying some things to us about just paying attention to the overall physical self. And then really, once you pay attention to the physical self, you start to narrow down specific places or specific areas that might be more affected. So I think the difficult part, especially if you don't know anything about this journey, is being able to, how to be able to connect those two. So what Queen says in the book is she tells you to kind of ask yourself, you know, use the tools and strategies of Portal One to help you liberate yourself from your mental, spiritual, and emotional physical traumas and begin to give you drama and pain. And then ask the voice of your womb to kind of speak to you to help you prepare to rejuvenate. So the questions that she prompts us to ask is, ask your womb, what is our trauma? You know, and so that would be one of the first. How many of you ladies know that you have trauma?
I do.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And who's this? The first person who said I do, who is that?
Oh, this is Naya. How are you?
Naya, hey, welcome. Okay, and how do you know that you do? Just by basic description. You don't have to go into detail about your specific. But how do you know you have trauma?
My emotions, they sometimes they're hard for me to control, and sometimes I am not very aware of it, so it just comes out, and I know it has to do something, something deep within me.
Okay. And what do you normally do to go in deep? Do you take a quiet time to yourself, or is it when you notice when you take a shower, or is that quiet time to yourself kind of work?
I am learning mindfulness, and I am learning to not resist what comes to me at the moment, whether it's anger, whatever emotion it is. So I am learning to observe it, to welcome it, to embrace it. So pretty much I'm learning to deal with it so it will lose its strength. There is a lot I had become better, and a lot of the pain that I had gone through. It's a lot more work that I need to do, but mindfulness, meditation has helped me tremendously.
Yes. Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. And Rochelle, you said that you know you have trauma. Talk about that a little bit.
Just before my healing journey, I noticed a lot of dis-ease in my womb. And especially the fact that when I had my tubes tied, you know, and it was a tug of war with that to even, you know, for that to take place. But I can just tell, you know, when your womb is crying out, you know, when you have your hands upon your womb and you're asking questions, and you know, your womb necessarily, you know, might not tell you that it's unhappy at that time, but you just, you know, as you're touching and you're feeling and you're connecting with yourself, you know, you can just, you know, feel those blockages, those areas that need for you to, as the other caller said, you know, just to use mindfulness in that area.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And any other ladies on the line? Poetress, do you know your trauma, or if you have trauma of your womb?
Yes, I know my trauma. I do have trauma. You know, mine is just all, you know, it's emotional. I'm trying to figure out how to control it. You know, for me, you know, the trauma for me is just that, you know, I get really angry. And, you know, I just get angry. But I'm trying to deal with it.
What do you think makes you angry?
I don't know. I mean, just certain aspects of my life, I guess, that I, you know, that I go through, that are, you know, just life changes. Makes me angry.
Okay.
You know, not having what I want. Like, there's things that I want and I don't have, makes me angry.
Okay.
Just a little.
All right. And Sister Renee, would you like to answer that question? Do you know what your trauma is, or if you have trauma?
I have not figured that out, but I know that there is trauma. So that's where I'm starting at. I know that there's an issue, and I need to seek whatever it is to heal that.
Right. Well, you definitely are in the right place, just in the likes of encouragement to go there. Many of us are still trying to discover as well. But as we continue to talk with one another and work with one another and go through these books, we begin to open up some doors. So I hope that we'll be able to help you along with that. And Livin, do you have trauma, or what do you think your trauma, or do you know your trauma if you have trauma?
I think my trauma is needing validation that I didn't get from my father, and not feeling protected from any man other than my grandfather that passed away when I was 3. So I've not felt protected from men in my life. I've not felt validated by men in my life. So it led to me doing a lot of things to try to get that. That, you know, to be validated and to be protected.
Wow. That is profound. And Amaya, do you have trauma? And do you know what that trauma is?
I think I have some trauma, a little bit. I think a lot of it stems from probably just my childhood and, you know, having to take care of myself as a teenager, and, you know, a lot of family and emotional traumas. Yeah, and I can tell, like, what was that?
No, I said that'll definitely do it. I know that I have trauma, and I've recognized my trauma recently. And there's a bunch of it. You know, it's not just one thing for me. There's a multitude of things, and not so much delegated to emotions, but delegating with not wanting to deal with certain things, denial of a lot of stuff, denial of, just the place or who I was in a lot of relationships. And then trauma before that, where it comes from not having the security of being free, having to be bounded in these boxes of the grown adults in my life who were afraid of themselves. And any moment that they saw a piece of themselves in me, they wanted to stop it. And so for me, my trauma was more or less the fear of just being me, the fear of being free, the fear of being a female child, because of all of the traumas that happened to the females in my family and the trauma that had happened to my parents, my father, the trauma that he didn't want me to express myself being a female child. And so it kind of limited me in going to that place of being a woman and just being a person, just being a person. And so that trauma now is being released, but how I acted that trauma out was in the open. People didn't know me the way I knew me. And behind closed doors, if I was dealing with someone in a relationship, I became this almost like this person who was let out of a cage, totally different. You know, but on the outside it was this, oh, I can't be that way in front of everybody. You know, so, and that's how it played itself out in relationships. That's how it played itself out. So I know what my trauma is. But the next question that Queen Afua asked is, ask the womb of your mind and the womb of your heart, what is blocking your wellness or our wellness? So in essence, now that we know what our trauma is, what is blocking us from dealing with that trauma? What do you think that's stopping you from focusing and paying attention to that trauma? Anybody can answer that question.
This is Rochelle.
What stops us from doing it? Go ahead.
I mean, I would say just, you know, life in general, you know, our daily walk, the way we have created our world to be, you know, what we have allowed into our lives, that is just that not enough time, not enough energy to put into ourselves, into our spiritual work, into our health and our wellness journey. You know, as women, we clutter our lives. We try to do everything and be everything to everyone, when if we are not caring and loving ourselves, we're unable to protect ourselves or either even nurture anyone else who's in our circle.
Mm-hmm. Any of you other ladies want to add to that too? Because what I'm going to say to that, and Rochelle, I don't want you to take offense to that. This is a general statement that I'm going to make. I think it's bull. And the only reason why I say that is because we don't want to deal with it. We have time for all the trivial things, all the littlest things, all the simplest things, but we don't have time to face our trauma. I think that's bull. I think we don't want to deal with it because we're scared. We're scared to go there. We're scared to open those doors. And why are we scared? Why do you, and I say that with the utmost love, Rochelle. I don't want you to take offense to it. It's only in the sense of sometimes, you know, snapping that light on and saying, We can come up with 1,000 excuses as to why we don't look at ourselves in the mirror and look deeply and look hard and look at the stuff we've been through and deal with it. Uh-huh. We can't be that part of ourselves. And it's so damn tough for us to go there. We're so scared. And why?
Yeah.
So I don't say it to come at anybody personally. Mm-hmm. I say it because I know my bullshit. I know my bullshit.
I agree.
Right. I know when I'm lying to myself. I know when I'm lying to others. And I know when I don't want to deal with something. Like, if you could be on a diet, okay? You can be on a diet and you'd be like, okay, I'm doing good. Or say, like, a detox. And then you see something that you want that's outside of the detox area, okay? Cake or something. And you're like, damn, I want that cake. But you know you want a detox. You know you're cleaning your body. But you're like, you know what? Ain't nobody going to see me. I'm going to eat that cake. So you go get that cake. Right? And so you go back to your people and you're like, oh, yeah, my detox went well. And but you know you are lying. You know you are. So the same thing with dealing with the trauma. You know that something is happening and something is going on with you. And you know for damn well that you got to deal with it. But you don't want to deal with it. Why? Because you don't want to be exposed. And why don't you want to be exposed? See, when we clean our houses, we clean our homes. We don't leave nothing dirty. So why do we have to leave the dirt in us?
Wow. Amen.
So it's kind of goes to that place where it's like, let's be real about our mess. Let's be real about this trauma that we got, and let's face it, and let's deal with it, because it's going to haunt us, it's going to kill us, it's going to destroy us. And Queen of Fools is going to tell us why we have to do it, why we have to do it. So I'm going to finish the reading from this page, and then we're going to go forward. When you discover the roots of what is blocking your wellness, you will be on your way to overcoming them and restoring balance. Let the voice of your womb help to help yourself. There is a direct correlation between the condition of your womb and the overall wellness. And I'm going to read that again. There is a direct correlation between the condition of your womb and your overall wellness. The presence of an angry vagina indicates a damaging, unwanted accumulation of suppression. Mm. And that's not being real about what your trauma is by suppressing it. Suppression of old hurts in the womb of your heart and your mind, as well as is the waste in your reproductive womb. These accumulations of waste contribute to dis-ease in all of your womb centers. Now it is time to overcome negativity, replace it with live nutrition, positive thoughts, and constructive, invigorating deeds. Now it is time to detox and rejuvenate. Take charge of your life by overcoming a toxic diet and toxic lifestyle. Seek your womb wisdom so that eventually you can enjoy your womb wellness. So come on, let's get started in our womb wellness revolution to overcome the angry vagina. And one of the major things that Queen talks about, and the first thing that she talks about in this book, is fibroids, because it is so prevalent in our community with our women. And it is the thing that is taking away many women's wounds unnecessarily. And as easy as it may sound, because we've heard other things, how some women just insist that they had to have their wounds totally eradicated from their bodies. They insist, this is what the doctor said. The doctor said it was this. Mm-hmm. And they went with it. And so when we say knowing our womb trauma and being honest about it, when we start being honest about it, we say to the fibroids, the hell with you. You are not allowed here. When we start being honest and we start opening up about our trauma, and it doesn't have to be to the world, but to ourselves, because the person that we lie to the most is ourselves. We will sit there and we will lie directly to ourselves and walk around and believe that lie. And meanwhile, the fibroid is developing. from that lie, from that trauma. And so the first thing that she talks about is the fibroids and whether you have them or not. So I'm going to ask you, Rochelle, if you can just read the passage of the fibroids all the way up to the first part of the second page where it says fibroid tumors global grand, if you don't mind.
Okay, you said start at the fibroids, a global epidemic?
Yes. Yes, and then finish at just right before the picture, the image,
mm-hmm.
on the other
okay.
page.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The fibroid tumors are the overall predominant wound damage of my female clients. I have found fibroid tumors and their symptoms to be primary contributors to the existence of global angry vaginas. The screams and cries from global fibroid suffering has motivated my research into the causes of this calamity. I dedicate myself to assisting my clients in their womb wellness restoration. With or without fibroids, my clients' complaints include menstrual cramps, pelvic pain, heavy bleeding, clotting during menses, PMS, mood swings, vaginal itching and or burning, vaginitis, and vaginal cysts, infertility and recurrent pregnancy loss, difficult childbirth, and toxemia during pregnancy. Some women have some level of anemia due to the excessive and unscheduled bleeding from their womb. Some women have frequent urination or constipation because they have extra waste in their colon, which causes extra pressure on their bladder and or rectum. A few women have shared that it is painful when they have sexual intercourse. Globally, women are exploring methods to relieve the painful symptoms caused by these womb invaders. Often women are told that they should have a hysterectomy, removal of the uterus, as soon as possible. The problem with this solution is that although the fibroids are definitely gone, unfortunately the woman's womb, her primary organ for reproduction, is also gone. Fortunately, more women are deciding that hysterectomy is not an acceptable cure for getting rid of fibroids. Physically, there are hormonal changes as well as side effects to nearby organs. The loss of her womb can be as devastating to the womb of a woman's heart as it is to her body. Emotionally, the impact of losing her womb is different for each woman. These possible side effects are causing women to continue to look for alternative ways to get rid of fibroids. Women who have access to laser myotectomy are choosing that form of surgery instead. The fibroids are removed, but the womb is not. Recovery time after myosectomy is usually about 5 weeks. Okay, thank you.
It's myomectomy.
Okay, I ain't gonna even go there. It ain't coming out right.
It's all good. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, ladies, how many of you women on the line, and just say by a yes, or still have your womb?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So all of us on the line still have our womb.
Yes.
what if somebody told you that they needed to take your womb? How would you feel about that?
I would say no.
I said no.
I say yes. Sometimes when, because I have such terrible cycles, so around that time I don't want to have a cycle, and I'd rather do without it.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's profound.
Wow.
That is profound.
I have a fibroid, and my doctor suggested that to take everything out, and it was such a scary moment when he suggested that. I thought about it and I pray about it, and I still have the fibroid, but I don't have the heavy bleedings anymore, but I am glad I said no. Cause, yeah.
Wow. Well, I still have mine, and if someone came along and said that they were going to take mine, they will have to fight me. They will have to fight me to the grave. And I could have 1,000 fibroids in there. They will have to fight me to my grave. And I say this because in all the years that my womb has walked with me, I've never identified her. And now that I identify her, I love her.
Oh, wow.
And I will never let anybody take her away from me. If she dies, I die, and that's how it is for me.
Beautiful.
I have menstrual, or have had menstrual pain, excruciating pain, to the point where as a teenager I was ripping my own hair out of my head from pain. But I was thankful that she came every month. Even up until the last year, had excruciating pain to the point where I would crawl on the floor because I couldn't get up and I couldn't walk. And I still will keep her. She brought my babies here. She carried my babies here, nurtured life inside of me, made me a better woman from these babies. Help me understand me and the capabilities that I have when I am taking care of her. So, no, I would never. So I my heart is with the sister who sometimes or doesn't want to have her womb anymore. My heart is with you, sister. And I love you for your truth. I love you for sharing the truth of how you feel, because it is a painful thing to go through when you have very bad menstruals. It's the most heartbreaking because we don't know what to do. But I know that over the years we can heal ourselves from those things. I'm going to tell you something that I told my sister yesterday, my sister Rochelle, I told yesterday. And I'm sure some of you ladies have heard my story before. I had something called Asherman syndrome. And Asherman syndrome is when you get uterine scars that totally block your menstrual flow from coming out of your body. So that means that when you get your monthly cycle, that blood sits in your body. Now, before I knew how nutrient great our blood is when we have our menstrual, I panicked because here I am sitting with a stomach full of blood that's not coming out. And it's causing me so much pain that I can't walk. It's causing me so much pain that I can't even think. And all I want to do is lay there and die. And so this happened every month, and at first I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? I'm not getting my menstrual, but this thing is happening to me. I thought I was dying every month until I actually figured it out what was going on. And so what I decided to do after going from one doctor to another doctor for them to tell me, we're going to do a sonogram, we're going to do this, this could be wrong, let's give you this contraceptive, let's give you that, let's see if we can make it come down. This, they was using me as guinea pig. They wanted to do so much stuff to me in order to figure out what was wrong until one doctor actually diagnosed me. But because I didn't have any health insurance, they couldn't do anything. So it was left up to me to heal myself. And so what I did was I changed my diet. I changed my mind. I told myself, I'm going to fight this pain. This is not going to take me. I'll have two beautiful children that I want to live to see become full-grown adults. I'm not going to let this take over me. I changed my diet and I became a vegetarian. I stopped. I used to drink wine and alcohol. I stopped drinking that. And it wasn't all the time, but just in general, I stopped it. I stopped dealing with whatever relationship that I was dealing with on a mental, physical, and spiritual level. I totally cut it off. And I just began to drink my apple cider vinegar on a daily basis, and I started to meditate and meditate often. Now, I'm not saying this is a prescription for everybody else, but this is what it did. After about a year and a half of not seeing my menstrual come out of my body, she came. A year to the day that it stopped, she came. And every time she came back stronger. And less pain, less amount of days, but stronger and bright and vibrant. And what was happening during that whole course of the time that was sitting inside my body was healing me, because that is healing blood. She was healing and healing and healing and healing. And now I can tell you to this day, at 43 years old, that I'm not infertile anymore, because it makes you infertile, and my cycles are normal without pain, because I changed my diet, I changed my mind, I stopped bullshitting about my health. Excuse my French. But I stopped. And I did it. And I see it. And I'm happy. So if someone said they was going to come take my womb from me, they're going to fight. They're going to fight me. And that's how I feel about it. And I hope that we all get to a place with this journey and everything that we fight for our wounds. We fight, we change our diet. We fight, we change our thoughts. We start to love that place that has enabled us to create. It's a place of creation. And even for those women who haven't given birth to children, it creates beauty. It creates, it's a center of so much creation outside of life. So with this is why this work is so important and this book is so important, and why Queen does what she's doing right now. So I share that with you all. Any of you ladies have any thoughts or anything that you want to say? Okay. So as we go back into the book, fibroid tumors are the global grand dam of angry vaginas. So when Queen talks about the myectomy, it is a uterine fibroid embolization process. In this process, tiny particles are inserted into the fibroids to cut off the blood supply and cause them to shrink. Now, I've heard of this before. I just never known how it works. I never know what was done, because I know a couple of sister friends of mine who've had fibroids and didn't have to have invasive surgery. They did have just laser surgery done, and they was able to have the fibroids shrink. So I do know of it. And so what most women who have EFE, and that's usually what the process is called, are walk-in overnight patients who can return to normal activities within a day or two, and the fibroids seem to die, and the symptoms end for a while. But she says that hemorrhaging and clotting with surgery, you know, possible loss of uterus is what can happen behind some of these processes. Well, let me read that again so that we have that clear. Hemorrhaging, clotting, surgery, and the possible loss of a uterus, it is no wonder that most women around the world have developed angry vaginas. Excuse me, I did read that wrong. So what she's basically saying is hemorrhaging and all these other things are what causes women to have these angry vaginas. So would you say, Renee, would you say that right now at this point you have an angry vagina?
Yes, it's very angry.
Uh-huh. And is it primarily because the cycles that you have?
It is definitely the cycles that I have, but mm-hmm. I think it's aging like I am, so it's almost like I have to know it better because it's not the same 20 years ago, and I'm just, you know, only being, you know, turning 40, I'm just like, mm-hmm. you know, just the physical issues, and I thought I knew myself, and trying to figure mm-hmm. my own body, it's funny, it's like I'm a young girl again, and she just responds differently to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that the pain and stuff that you get is fairly recent, would you say?
It's almost been like an increase. Mm-hmm. I've always had challenges when it comes to my cycle. I've even had, mm-hmm. I hear people have cycles for, I don't know, most people have it 5 days. I've had cycles for 6 days. I've had it for about 3 weeks before, and I had to take medication to stop it. And there was no explanation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the fatigueness and now having now I have fibroids. So now that's probably where the increase in pain and discomfort and even, in having sex with something that I know I've always loved now is,
right.
It's almost like I feel like I can't do what I used to do because of it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to, do you have children, may I ask? If you don't mind sharing.
I have two. I have a 6-year-old now, and that kind of, mm-hmm. she really altered my body, and not just that, my womb has been shifted to where mm-hmm. the doctor's like, I would never be able to have children again because it's completely flipped, and this was a small child. So, it's, you know, a lot of, it's a really small pregnancy, so I was really surprised that so much has changed mm-hmm. in having that last child.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to figure her out because I should not want to have a hysterectomy. That should be the last thing that anyone would want to have.
I want to tell you something. I love you. I love you for sharing your story. I love you for the journey that you went on, and I couldn't possibly imagine the scope of things that you had to deal with what you've been going through. But one thing I want to tell you is you are definitely on the right path of healing. You are absolutely, without a doubt, in the right energy space for healing. Your womb is beautiful. You created beauty from out of your womb. And for whatever reason your womb is screaming for, she is asking for you to go back. She is asking you to go way back to when she started getting her menstruals and start reaching there and start to heal, because what I've learned over the past couple of months and just doing, we did a Sacred Woman book read prior to this, and as we journeyed into this book, I'm learning so much about overall womb issues, and more so for myself, have had such a traumatic womb story. And I think all of our stories are traumatic. But once you hear another sister feeling the way she feels, it makes me want to clench and hold my womb even tighter, because it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I want to love on this sister and let her know that this is going to be okay, this is going to be all right, you know, and no woman should feel like they want to have their womb removed for them. But when it gives you so much pain, what can you do if you don't have a sister circle, or if you don't have a a group of women who can assist you in that healing and help you, you know, with trying to understand this journey. But it is going to take some going back. It's definitely going to take some going back, because if it is happening as you're getting older and it's getting, you know, stronger, outside of seeing your doctor and finding out what's going on, it's going to take some work from you to actually deal with her and deal with getting to know her all over again and getting to love her and getting to understand her and why she's screaming. Do any of the ladies online have any words for our sister? Any type of encouragement or anything that you want to share with her really quickly? And I do want to extend myself outside of here.
Mm-hmm. This is Rochelle. Go ahead. I just want to let her know that she's loved and that we're here for her.
Thank you.
Absolutely, you are. I couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine, and I feel so much. I feel joy, number one, that you called, because that's, like I said, that's the first step in the best direction that you could ever give yourself and give to your womb and your children and your family. Because once you begin to heal all of that, everything else will be able to fall into place. And it's hard to go there. It's very hard to go there. So I'm going to go further. Yes. Hello?
Sorry. It's interesting in being a mother is I almost feel like I don't have time to take care of that part of me, to even be concerned with that part of me, because I just feel, you know, I can't be sick. When my cycle comes, when I'm having any type of issue like that, I can't be down. I still have to be that mom and give,
right,
and not have time to really, you know, do the research that I know I need to do and read and sit and read the books that I know I need to do to read to educate myself on how to get my body right.
So what made you call the show? What made you decide to join in with us?
Because I've been on the page, and I've been getting inspiration by things that are being said on the page, and I've been going to YouTube, inspiration. I'm just feeling a bit more confident, like, you know what, I know what I need to do, you know. I'm being pulled
to help
myself.
You're being guided in the right direction. You're being guided in the right direction, and you're being guided into the right people. And even if your journey starts here and goes somewhere else, you're being guided in the right direction, because the power of what's going on with you is actually saying it. Like last week, we talked about the womb screaming for help, and this is the womb's way of screaming for help. And because the woman is a part of you and who you are, she wants to save herself. She wants to save you. So this is definitely the right place, sister. I extend myself outside of Facebook. I extend myself outside of this show. And if you want to be in contact with me, please inbox me your information, or I'll inbox you my information, and we can talk outside of that, because it is very important for us to connect to you and give you more encouragement. Because I felt that way with my menstrual when I was young. I think every woman feels that way. Can you ladies agree with me? When you get your menstrual and it is the worst thing in the world, don't you feel like you wish you never had it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I know we've all been there. How many of us have really bad menstruals when we do get them?
Are you
Go ahead. Okay. So we all have that experience where we used to have them really bad, and we all had that experience where we talked about not ever wanting it or don't want to have it anymore. I wish it wouldn't come. And then there was certain other times you're like, oh, God, thank God it did come, you know. So it's so many mixed emotions about this place. And when I talked about the first show that we did, when we talked about going back to our first menstrual, write in your journals, and I said this to the women, write in your journals about what your experience was your first time. And I think I said it many times, right, Rochelle? I think I've repeated this 1,000 times. Go to your journal and write down your first menstrual experience, and that will explain, that will at least open the door to where you are right now. It will actually tell you your journey. Because when I sat down and I wrote about how ashamed I was when I got it and I didn't want nobody to know about it and the way that I treated and behaved, and then the way that society had put it upon us to that it was a dirty little thing that was happening to us. This is a nasty little thing that's happening to us, but it's going to happen every month. And this is how it was put out and presented to us. So then, yes, naturally, when it comes, it's like all this disgust that goes with it. And it's like, oh, my God, I just wish it would stop, you know, because it's a bad thing. But we don't realize how beautiful that blood in our body is to us and how healing that blood is and how that blood covers our babies when they are in our bodies and how much nutrients that baby gets from that blood. That's what that is. And we were taught that it was nasty and it was dirty and our body is getting rid of toxins and getting rid of nastiness by coming out of us. But it's shedding because it's letting us know that we are a woman, that our womb is alive and our womb is powerful and our womb is creative and our womb is where love is from. And we don't learn those things when we are young. And then we get older and we have this disgust with it every time that it comes. Don't want to deal with it. It is the only time that we pay attention to that area in general. So why shouldn't she come and she's like, look at me, I'm here. I am here. I'm bleeding. I'm awake. I'm here. Pay attention to me. And don't just pay attention to me when it's that time of the month. Pay attention to me every damn day by putting the right food in your mouth, by putting the right energy in your life, by changing the energies that you're giving to other people and changing the negativity around you. And all the things that create an angry vagina. So she's angry because she's like, you won't pay attention to me. Love me and I won't give you no pain. Love me and I won't give you fibroids. Love me and I won't have a smell. Love me and I won't, you know, make you embarrassed when you're with that person. I won't hurt you if you take care of me. And that's what it's been saying from the beginning, because we was taught that it was dirty, and we was taught that it was nasty, and we was taught that we ain't supposed to love that part of ourselves. We was taught these things, and we was taught primarily by men, male doctors, male teachers, and the women believed and enforced it. And the women and the mothers in our lives and all the women who we grew up with that were supposed to nurture us and help us through it, some of them didn't even involve themselves in our journey when that happened. So then we created all of this anger that became a big ball of a fibroid, a big ball of pain, or whatever it is that we're suffering through. If you don't have fibroids and you have other issues or you have disgust and disconnection from your womb, it comes from a place. It has a beginning and it has an end, and you have to find that end. But when you get to that beginning first, you take that journey to get to that end. And I promise you, I will walk with you to that journey because I'm doing the same journey. We have to do this for one another. So what Queen says, part of empowering ourselves to heal ourselves is to find the root cause of fibroids or any ailment, but specifically she's talking more about fibroids. Usually the origin of fibroids are omitted during the treatment consultation. A woman plagued with symptoms and threatened with losing her womb is concerned about how to get rid of them. Neither she nor the physician address where the fibroids come from. That is very important. That is probably the most important thing, because you can walk into the doctor's office and you can talk about getting these fibroids removed, but we want to talk about where the hell do they come from so that they don't come back, so they don't come back again. So that is a discussion that a doctor won't have with you. A doctor will tell you, we're going to get it up out of there. And if we can't get that little piece out there, We're going to take the whole thing. How about that? We're going to take the whole womb. And that's what they do. So however she accepts the concept that we are what we eat, her understanding and choices will change. Recent research reveals that fibroids have high levels of growth hormone. So I just want to make sure you guys hear me, because one of the ladies in the group said she lost sound. So can you guys still hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure everybody hears me. Okay. Recent research reveals that fibroids have high levels of growth hormones. How are we ingesting these hormones? Ladies, how do you think we're ingesting hormones? Where do you think hormones are coming from?
Food and drink.
Can you say that a little louder, sister?
Food and drink.
Sorry, this was the Latiqua. I wasn't understanding. I was in queue. I'm sorry.
Welcome, sister. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Food and drinks. What we're drinking in the milk, what we're eating in our food, the GMO and all this other stuff, it's in our food. It's in our drink. It's in 90% of what we ingest if we're not eating the right thing. So how and she says, are they air? Are they in the air or in their water or in food? Because we neither digest or eliminate those hormones, they remain as waste in our body. And it's no wonder we have tumors. Even if we cut them out, we eat an abundance of food that might contain more hormones. We invite the fibroids to return and promise to feed them. So when we have fibroids or any type of illness in our bodies, our diet will dictate whether that is going to stay in our body or if that is going to be removed out of our body. So it all depends on what you're eating, what you're putting into your body. The purpose of the strategies and tools that are used in this portal is to help you overcome the womb challenges, especially fibroid tumors. They represent over 30 years of research and practice. Fibroids are benign growths found in the uterus. The size and number of fibroids usually indicate how long and often a woman has her menses. Wow. Her menses. If you detoxify the womb, you can lessen the amount of menstrual bleeding and shrink the tumor. Stories in this book report the experiences of women who use detox and rejuvenating strategies to restore their womb wellness and overcome their angry vaginas. As you begin to live a natural lifestyle, you will also experience appropriate physical and emotional changes. You may feel sad, even if you may find yourself crying or losing your temper. Don't be alarmed. You are cleansing. You may experience a heavier menstrual period for the first 2 months as you begin your cleansing or your detox. Remain steadfast on your purification path, and by the third or fourth month, you will begin to menstruate 1.5 days, 1.5 day or 1 day less. I'm down to 2 days at the most. 2 days at the most, no pain, after coming from a place of excruciating pain. So, Sister Renee, it can be done. It can be done. And what I did post in the group, the Sacred Woman Journey group, I did post the making of a fibroid tumor and also the unmaking of a fibroid tumor, so you know what to do. But that doesn't just go for fibroid tumors, and I just want to say that because I don't have any fibroid tumors, and I've never had, but I have other issues dealing with angry vagina, so I had to do some changing in my diet and a lot of other things in order to get myself down to 2 days. And it actually wasn't even my goal to do that. I didn't have a goal to reduce my cycle. I had a goal to live. So when I decided to change my diet, that's what the goal was. And it just so happened that my womb was happy about my decision. She was very happy about that. So it's a possibility in everything that you do and all the changes that you make with your diet and just with your thinking. I think your thinking is the key point in the beginning. Being able to change your thinking will enable you to open up your mind to all different types of things and trying things. And even sometimes something as little as doing a weekend detox will start to make your body happy and your womb will start to respond. And some of those difficult, menses will actually start to be a little bit more lighthearted. They'll be a little bit more happy. And that's how you know that your body is getting better. After a season of one to three months of deep cleansing, you will notice that the once solid and immobile tumor will begin to shift within your womb. Instead of being hard to touch, it will be softened. The tumor is in the process of being dislodged or dislodging itself, and you are on your way to womb recovery. When tumors and or cysts soften and liquefy, growth break up, and then it begins to drain out of your vagina. Your womb will experience a natural surgery, and many discharges will you may have many discharges or heavy bleeding, very heavy bleeding. So this is very possible with some of the work that Queen Nafua is working with women. And if you want a resource, Renee, just so that you can have assistance with the pain that you experience, you can also we can also link you to Queen Afua herself, and she will be able to assist you in that. Would you be open to that?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome, for sure.
Okay. So I know
Thank
Rochelle
you.
Has a link, and I have a link as well. So we will definitely talk with you after the show and get you the resources that you need in order to help you. And any other woman that is on the line that is interested in opening up these gates of healing, please make yourself, just get yourself in contact with me, and you can be linked to the woman herself that can actually help you. So, I would love for to be able to just bring people to that place. Do any of you ladies have any comments or anything that you want to discuss really quickly on the line? We have like 15 more minutes to the show, but is there anything that any of you ladies would like to share, any experiences, and just overall just any type of discussion or encouragement?
I'd like to Sister Monique. I am grateful. This is Sister Latika. What's that, everyone? I'm so grateful for the vision that has been planted in you. I am privileged to watch you flourish.
Thank you.
Like, you tend to tap into all of the things that are pertinent to what's going on with us in the sisterhood today. And I just want to encourage you.
I want to encourage you.
Keep doing what you're doing, sis. I love it. This is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I hope I'm helping, you know, because I know that if I had this when I was coming up, I say this with tears in my eyes. If I had this coming up with all the women I have in my family, I have so many women in my family and not one could help me. I didn't go to anyone and say I'm having issues. Not one. On my mother's side, like I mentioned before, she has 13 children. I have 7 aunts. I have many cousins. And I have on my father's side 5 aunts and a gang of female cousins. And I couldn't come to any of them and say, I'm having pain. I couldn't go to anybody. So when I searched and I looked all over to get help and get healing, I found Queen Afua, and I found her book. And that's what helped. So when I started learning about this process and reading her book, and initially Rochelle was with me when we first started the book read, it was just that. It turned into a an enormous gift for everybody that was involved, not just myself, but all the women that were involved. It turned into a huge gift. And it was something that I was told long time ago, even as a young woman, that I needed to do work with women, and I didn't know what, and this was what was being manifested. And it had to happen through my journey. And it's amazing how we have to go through something in order for that light bulb to go on in our heads and say, hey, you know what, it's not just me out there going through this, it's a bunch of us. And then when you think about it, when we did the first show and we talked about how even Oprah Winfrey got an angry vagina or had an angry vagina, that lets you know, and even though she's not a big deal, but when you talk about somebody on that level and when you talk about the amount of money and the things that she has and all the womb drama she had coming up lets you know that not that every woman on this planet has had or have a womb issue, an angry vagina, either has had one at one point or is having one right now. So when I look at that and I look at some of the conversation that goes on, what I see in Facebook, and some of the conversation that goes on in other conversations that I overhear between sisters, and even some of the silly little things that I think of, and I say, no wonder our vaginas are angry. We don't even know how to talk right. We don't even know how to have conversations that enlightens us and heals us. We don't have healing conversations. So how's that womb healing? Or is that coming out of the mouth of the womb? That's coming out your mouth. So, I mean, it's like, it just pushed me, and it kept pushing me, and it kept pushing me. And I'm grateful for the opportunity because I didn't know that it was this powerful. I didn't know that. I can imagine what Queen feels like every night when another woman is here. And yeah. I think that is really the whole story of it all is, like, at the end of the day, women are healing themselves. Damn a doctor. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but damn a doctor, I healed myself. I can say that with pride, and I can say that with love, and I can say that holding my womb in happiness because she's happy. I healed myself, and it's possible. It is
right.
possible. So that's what makes me do it, because I'm like, I see the results, and not everybody's going to have the same results. But at least there's hope, and there's hope amongst us, and there's love amongst us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what pushes it forward. You know, I want to say when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, we did nothing at first because we were just like, she wants to do chemo, she wants to do it her way. When she got closer to death, she wanted other alternatives. And by that time, her body was emaciated. There was nothing that we can do. And I have reached out to a lady. I have reached out to a man first named Gary Null, who is like one of the top people in cancer treatment. And he has a radio show. And he does a homeopathic, natural way of doing it. And many success stories. So I reached out to him in his radio show. He linked me to a woman that was going to give my mother the soursop the Monday after she died. And we had scheduled it. And because I went through him, it was a quarter of the price, which was a blessing. And so we were fighting like hell to get her out of the hospital, get her out of the hospice and bring her home so we can give her the soursop and she can start the treatments and she can get better at home. And she had passed away the Friday before her treatment. And so we scrambled. I mean, it was like a shot in the stomach.
Right.
And I say this because when you lose someone of that magnitude in your life, it makes you shift gears completely. When that happened to my mother, my journey changed. Or my journey went the direction that it was supposed to go. And so it brought me here to this present moment, to this very present moment. So sometimes situations happen in order to shift your thinking and shift direction, and not only to helping yourself, because not only only did her crossing over, her transition made me change the way that I eat, the way that I think, the way that I view and deal with doctors, the way that I look at my brothers and sisters. I can almost look at somebody and tell what is physically wrong. And before my mother's passing, that mindfulness piece wasn't there. And so this is purposeful in that sense, and whatever it may do for all of you ladies in here, I want to inspire you to not overlook things, the littlest tiny thing that is going on with your body, the little tiny pain, the little runny nose, the little bit of mucus in the back of your throat, because I tell you, it is your body speaking to you in so many ways. And we can hear the child in the other room messing with something. As a mother, we can be like, yo, what's going on in there? But we can't hear the sounds and things that's going on in our own physical body that we are connected and attached to. We have to pay attention. We have to be focused, and we have to love ourselves, and we have to love our womb. We have to. It is a part of us. If we don't love our wombs, we don't love our body. We don't love ourselves. It is a part of us. Not one part of the body is separate from the other. It is all working together to make the whole thing work at the same time. Your toes help your feet. Your feet help your ankle. Your ankle helps your leg, your knee, your thigh. It helps everything. So your womb helps everything. We got to love her because she is a part of the whole entire body, and we have to pay attention to her. So on that note, because we do have to wrap up, I want to thank all of you ladies for joining me this evening. Anybody have any words or anything that they want to share? I would love to hear.
I just want to say thank you.
Oh, Lavette, you're here.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome.
Thank you. I had a character building day. So I just kind of stayed behind the scenes because I'm working with myself. I've been an emotional ball of energy today, and I'm just thankful to be here and the ability to absorb the love and the energy that's shared between you all on the call. So I just want to say thank you to everybody, the ones that have spoken and the ones that haven't. I just appreciate it.
Well, I thank you, and I hear the somber in your voice. I want to inspire you and let you know that you are so loved, and no matter what you're going through, we are here. Like I say to the other women, I can't imagine the exact amount of what you're dealing with, but I hear it, and I've been hearing it for a while, and I know that there's a lot of hurt there, and I want to tell you that I love you. Call me anytime. I am here. And even if you got to scream on the phone for like 10 minutes, I will listen.
Yes,
I mean,
ma'am. Thank you.
Sometimes that is necessary. Sometimes it's a straight scream for about a minute or so. It's going to relieve the hell out of everything for that moment. So if that's what you need to do, don't mind me if I put you on speaker, but scream your heart out.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you,
so
and I love you too.
I'm serious, and I mean that for every woman that's on the line. Even if you got to call, and I speak French all day sometimes, if you got to speak French for a good minute before you say hello, do it. Get it out. Get it out. Don't hold that in, because you know what? I'm going to put it to you this way. If you hold it in, it turns into a fibroid. And I know that sounds
crazy.
It turns into a fibroid. I mean, we got to get like old school, and we have to get like old school. But you know how your mother was. My grandmother used to tell us, "If you hold in gas, you die."
Yeah, I don't waste it.
So I definitely tell you that. Don't hold it in because it will turn into a fibroid. Let it go.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
All right. Anybody else? Anything before we go?
Monique, I just wanted to thank you as well, because I since I started reading the book, I talked to my girls
I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And
all right.
Now we have a little group we started called Garden of Goddesses, and I talked to them about their wombs and the book Angry Vagina because they saw it laying around, and they were like, what does that mean, an angry vagina? And so we started having a conversation, and the interesting thing is it's already working because something happened with my daughter, and she came in the room and she said, Ima, I have a very angry vagina today. And I just bust out and started laughing. And I said,
can you imagine if we were out in public and you came up to me and said, Mom, I have an angry vagina, and we just thought that was so funny. But they're going on this journey with me, and we decided that we're going to start a group for girls. So they're helping me plan, you know, their first little gatherings and invite some other little goddesses over. So thank you for inspiring me through this book and this group.
That's all you, baby. But that was all within. But I'll tell you about harmonizing people. That is awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. And my daughter wants to do the same thing. She's already got one of her best friends with her, and they're reading. Mm-hmm. They're actually reading Sacred Woman first. And then
okay.
they're in and out, like they're in and out of this book as well. But it's inspiring to see young women, and we as the elders that are teaching our young women how to empower themselves right now. Can you imagine how much we're going to change and how much
exactly.
they're going to change once they have that knowledge?
Exactly.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Be amazing. Amazing. Oh my goodness! I'm excited about that. Let me know how that comes along. I'm excited about
okay.
that. And any other ladies have anything they want to share before we go? Okay. So we're going to resume next week at the same time, same station, have some more love flowing. I'm so glad that you all have joined me this evening. And have a beautiful week, ladies. I love you all.
Love you all as well. Peace.
Peace.